Welcome back to A Closer Look. I'm Sheila Logmina. So glad you're there. So glad I'm here. This is always so great, addressing the issues of the day in our culture, in politics, in government, in our church, in our faith. It's all of a piece. They don't intersect, faith and politics, faith and culture, faith in everyday life. It's all of a piece woven together. You can't take them apart, because we have to live our lives in the public arena of ideas as Catholics, informed and informing the world and making sure that everything we do is informed by our faith. And we're talking about in this hour today, the marches out there going on in the country this week. Many people who are pro-life don't know about the number of pro-life marches there are, how many there are. I should have made you all take a guess before I started talking about it in the beginning of the program. And without looking it up, no cheating, send me your ideas or call in. The number is 888-914-9149. I want you to take that down, because we have this great program on Relevant Radio called Go Ask Your Father, hosted by Monsignor Stuart Sweatland, a popular program. Well, now I get to go ask him personally, and so do you, because Monsignor Stuart Sweatland is in, and the phone lines are open, 888-914-9149. We have lots to talk about. Monsignor, welcome back.
It's good to be with you, Sheila. Happy New Year.
I'm so glad you're in. So, Monsignor Sweatland, I want you, our listeners to know, you are president of Donnelly College in Kansas City, Kansas. You're also a professor of leadership and Christian ethics there. And as I just told listeners, you're host of Go Ask Your Father here on Relevant Radio, and senior religion correspondent for the Relevant Radio Network. So see how it's all of a piece, it all goes together when you're teaching leadership and Christian ethics, and then you turn and now you're on the microphone and now you're on the airwaves of the nation, and you're taking listeners' calls about matters of, you know, Christian ethics. We need that in our culture today, discussed about leadership. To those who are tuned in and they're training to be future leaders, or maybe they're tuned in, Monsignor, and they are in leadership positions right now, but they need to think about how better to carry out their roles in leadership. So that's something that's very needed in our culture today, isn't it? In the education system, educating leaders.
Exactly. You know, I was thinking of a line from St. John Paul II, and he talks about how we have to let our faith impact our culture and our society. To quote him, he said, "Therefore, I have maintained that a faith that does not affect a person's culture is a faith not fully embraced, not entirely thought out, not faithfully lived." End quote. That is from Christa Fidelis Laici, the post-Senate apostolic exhortation that was written specifically to the lay faithful to allow the faith they live to change the culture. The lay faithful in particular are to be salt, light, and leaven to raise the whole mess up. And it can seem at times, it is in fact sometimes, a real mess out there. But we have to remember that God is greater than the mess. And that if we let our faith permeate us and through us to the culture around us, we can transform our culture.
Monsignor, let's explore the word allow when you say that we, if to quote John Paul II, and then to cite the way you explained it to our listeners, that we must allow our faith to leaven the culture. Because I think the word allow is key in that. I mean, leavening the culture, that's all key. But allow already implies that many of us are not. And many of us know we sort of stand convicted of that. Many of us are recognize ourselves in, ooh, I've been a little bit too afraid to speak up on this or that, because I know the repercussions these days from the culture, and I'll get a huge backlash, and it might affect my work or my children's school or reputation or whatever. So the allow part, Monsignor, is describe to our listeners what that would mean for us as Catholics, Catholic Christians, to allow our faith to leaven the culture in ways we might not be doing now.
Right. Well, of course, in the very same paragraph, paragraph 59 that I quoted from, St. John Paul II says that the lay faithful must be formed according to the union which exists between being members of the church and citizens of human society. So that union exists, and he decries, as the Second Vatican Council did, as one of the most serious errors of our day, the separation of the faith we profess on Sundays or Saturday evening and the life we live Monday through Friday. And of course, we see this in so many public arenas where Catholics are afraid to be Catholic. You know, I always used to tell my students when I was at the University of Illinois, try the gospel. It works. But yet so many Catholics are afraid to try the gospel. We see Catholic colleges. I had a call today about a Catholic college, which will remain nameless, which is completely acquiescing to the secular culture when it comes to sexual ethics. That's not helping their students. That's not helping our society. That's not helping the Catholic apostolate here in the United States. It's a counter witness, a countersign. It is a scandal and a stumbling block, but it's all being inflicted upon the church by ourselves, by people who purport mm-hmm. to be running a Catholic university. But yet their alumni and their donors will still keep giving money. The parents will still keep sending students, and there'll be no effect on that particular university. They probably actually will become more prestigious in our society, because our society will reward compromise. Our society wants us to compromise with it. It wants us not to be salt, leaven, and light. It wants us to be tasteless, flat. It wants to remain unleavened by the gospel. We have to be courageous. This is a time to be not afraid, to be courageous to live the faith, like those hundreds of thousands of marchers will be on Friday, mostly young people, who will brave the cold and be out there to give witness, despite the unpopularity with Hollywood and that types in the press, be out there giving witness to life and the goodness of life from the moment of conception till natural death.
That is so true. East Coast, West Coast, it's going to happen this weekend. And here in the heartland of Chicago, we had it last Sunday. And right in the heart of the city, Monsignor, we were down there. The organizers estimate roughly 6,000 people. And it was so frustrating on the one hand that evening and the next day, some of the local news media, and I will name them, WGN-TV and the Chicago Tribune in print, misrepresented that whole thing, cherry-picked what they were going to produce and show and tell the Chicagoans and readers and viewers about it. They made it seem as if, Monsignor, as if the protesters across the street were almost an equal show of force, when we had roughly 6,000 and they didn't even have 100. I mean, some people counted dozens. And yet they were holding signs. Monsignor, one of the signs they were holding, the protesters of our life movement, our life march, one of the protesters held a sign that literally, I mean, I was up on the stage, I was the MC, so I saw that group clearly and their signs. One of their signs honestly said, abortion is a human right. And I thought, I would just love one-on-one to have a conversation with that person. I mean, nothing, you know, challenge, yes, but nothing uncharitable. Just engage in ideas and ask questions and then listen and follow up and that kind of thing. Because I bet if we had people more one-on-one than, you know, confronting a whole group like that, then we would find that underneath a lot of anger is maybe hurt or fear.
Exactly. It is hurt or fear in so many cases. And of course, only a person who has survived the abortion possibility could hold up such a sign. That person probably has about 1 million contemporaries, persons of their age group who don't exist in our country because they didn't survive the Holocaust of abortion and are not there to give their voice. So obviously it's a laughable and contradictory statement, but but there were people 150 years before that who would hold up a sign saying slavery is a human right. You know, that's what states wanted to expand that right. I'm in the middle of a biography of Ulysses S. Grant, so I'm thinking about that era. But, you know, the same era, the 1850s, when people were trying to expand slavery rights into the new territory that became part of the United States after the Mexican-American War of the 1840s. Of course, those same people were the same people who are persecuting Catholics back then, like they're persecuting Catholics today, you know, the Know-Nothings and the others, mm-hmm. you know. So we see so many parallels between our history. But yet in the middle of that history, there's an editorial from 1860, the Catholic Mirror, the Catholic paper of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, that was quite openly saying, it is the role of Catholic lay faithful to convert America to Catholicism. And we should be open about it. We're trying to convert America to Catholicism. because America, of course, is trying to convert Catholics into Americanist and not mm-hmm. Catholic. We should be mm-hmm. clear that we're trying to convert America to Catholicism because we know that's what's best for every human person, to live the fullness of truth. And we should be unabashedly, we should be unashamed, and we should be straightforward that we want to convert America to the faith. And you know what the Baltimore paper said would make that happen? Catholics living their faith to the full. It said if the lay faithful of 1860 Amen. Just lived their faith to the full, it would convert the country. Well, nothing's changed. If the 73 million Catholics in the United States today would live their faith to the full, we would convert this nation.
Wow. Imagine that. If everyone listening to us right now did something like that, I know Bishop Barron's been on before saying that, and George Weigel has said similar things. Like George Weigel said, if every priest, bishop, just went out and sat on the local park bench and asked everybody going by, can I tell you about Jesus? I mean, imagine what that would do. If every one of us listening right now, talking and listening, would across the country, coast to coast, would go out and do something speaking to others about our faith, invite them to Mass, invite them to something, some event your parish is having, or one of these walks or marches. If you happen to be in LA this weekend, in DC, in any of the other cities, and Monsignor and I will let you know about a few more, invite them to that. If you can invite people to, if everyone listening, Monsignor, did something like that, imagine the power that that would have. We're going to talk about that after the break. How many marches are going on out there across the country? Monsignor, again, I'll let you guess without looking it up if you're not going to cheat and look it up online. And you might be surprised by how many marches there are. And the phone's open, 888-914-9149. Go ask your fathers here, Monsignor Stuart Swetland. We have a lot more to talk about these marches for life, but how providential it is that that falls within the very week of the annual commemoration and honoring of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. Monsignor Stuart Swetland is an expert in Catholic social teaching, and he has something to say about that as well. You'll hear that next.